When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to 51 First Dates.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are doing an experiment.
And talking about dating.
And love. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Hi, everybody. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And I'm Carlin.
And this is 51 First Dates, a podcast about dating. We're back in your ears. Thank you for being patient with us. A podcast about dating. I'll never get over that I've never mastered a better tagline. We are so lucky to have Carlin here and all of you here. And Liza's a married woman. It's a special episode.
I hate it. It's so, I mean, love it. And I also just don't, I was saying this before we got on. I do not feel old enough to be married. LOL, I'm 34.
But, newly minted,
you know, sometimes you're a child forever, and that is my, it's Gemini season, baby. How are you guys?
So good.
I'm good. TBH, I was just sharing as well, because, you know, we chat for an hour before we ever start recording, that I am having late onset hangover. So if you are also feeling that, you know. We're in the same club, and I'm proud of you, and I'm proud of me. Guys, I just want to say it, and then we'll just have our chat. But Liza and I know we've been MIA, and we've been thinking about how great this podcast has been and this community has been, but also that we don't want to be half-assed podcasters. And also, you know, I don't even know how many of you are still out there, but we really are grateful for you. So this is going to be a little goodbye for now. Like, we're going on a break. This is not a breakup, but we're just gonna, like, you know, work on ourselves for a while. I don't know. This is weird. This is not goodbye forever. We may come back with more, but we're gonna take a pause.
Yeah. Who knows? We may come back and be and shift to being like a more general, like, relationship with other people, so family, friendship, whatever podcast.
Well,
you know, like, there, I feel like there's plenty of ways that our future could pan out, but for now, this is a see you later on this iteration of the podcast. Are obviously, please keep following us, because, you know, we will, if we do decide to shift gears and come back, like, we will announce stuff here. If you're subscribed to us, you will get things in your feed, and I know that Kimmy and I will work together until we're in our granny stage, and Carlin and I will hold each other's hands as we die. So, you know, please keep an eye out for us.
Yeah, I can't. It's too emotional for me to think about us ending working together, Liza. Actually, this is just see you later.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And we never will, you know, like, that's just not in the cards. But obviously, we've both been in these, like, really new life phases that have been really exciting for both of us, and the product of things we've been working towards for a long time. Like, I'm super proud of you, Kimmy. And, you know, this is, like, we've both been pushing really hard for the lives that we have. And unfortunately, right now, that means this podcast that we also love has had to take a back burner. Like, you can't keep all the plates spinning at the same time. So we want to make sure we're just, like, instead of doing a half-assed job at everything, we're doing a good job at the lives we're, like, working really hard to build outside of the podcast. And then maybe one day when there's more energy, more time, and, like, also, like, the idea of what we want to, how we want to, like, serve you guys as our audience is more clear. I feel like we've said a lot about dating, and there's also, like, a lot more we can talk about in other realms. And, yeah, I think that it's the right moment. And it is perfect that we have Carlin here today, because I think, like, the theme / title of this episode might be, like, pausing when you need to, because that's also what Carlin's doing with dating a little bit. So, like, I just feel like it does kind of have the right The right look, hey, produced as always, there's your theme, baby. But it's like, that's Carlin texted us a while ago and was like, hey guys, I just am gonna get off the dating apps, it's not serving me right now. So we're gonna talk about pausing and taking breaks when you need to. And Carlin, wait, you had a good, before we started recording, you had a good summary of what today was going to be about.
Yeah, so I was just like looking at all of us together at like such, I feel like we're all making like very big moves in our lives right now. And just like thinking about relationships, we're just at different parts of our lives because love can take so many shapes. Like I would never have thought this podcast wasn't like, you know, oh, how to date and then how to get married, like as if like, you know, oh, Liza's life is the goal. Like that's not it at all. Like there's nothing wrong or better about any of those phases. So like me pausing isn't like a loss or anything like that. It's like, how can you best serve yourself for one, your number one relationship, which is with yourself, and then two, how that informs everyone else that's in your life. So I just thought it was like an interesting to, for all of us to be at different places, but to be in really good places, you know, I thought that's pretty nice.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's so true. I think that the amount of love I've felt in the last 2 months has been amazing. And that is the best part of, and I'm not talking about from Jeff. I do feel love from him, but if you're on the fence about having a wedding or getting married, whatever. I'm not even talking about getting married. I'm not talking about the partner. I'm not talking about the whatever. I was very, as everyone on this podcast knows, not like all in on having a wedding. And the thing that was the most amazing to me is I don't know that I'll ever feel that much love concentrated at one time in my life. So I would encourage people to do something. Make, like, it can be a literal picnic in your backyard. You shouldn't spend money. I really wish I'd spent that less money. But it is, I have been thinking about like love in all iterations and how cultivating love and seeking out love is like something that I want to put really central in my life in the next 2 months and that I haven't been doing enough of. And I'm in a relationship. So it's not, again, it's like even in a relationship, you can be like, okay, Carlin, we talked about this right after my bachelorette weekend. We were just like, okay, we need to make sure we do this regularly, make it important, make it like central, plan it, and be like, we need to have our coven weekends of like women.
Liza's coven.
The coven. But like that's like really something I want to focus on next. And I just think it's a good example of what you're saying of like the romantic relationship is not the puzzle. It is a piece of the puzzle.
And yes. Liza's wedding was so, can we talk about your wedding for a little bit? It was so, oh my gosh, filled with,
please,
love.
Yeah.
And
so much love.
Celebration of love and articulation of love. And so was your bachelorette, because we did a compliment circle. And I just feel
like, let's get into that. Tell the people, like, everybody needs to do a compliment circle.
Yes.
It will tear you apart, but also build you back up. It's great.
I had done one, and this really comes more from our dear friend of the pod, Sarah Winter. But it's a great girls trip thing. I did it in Mexico City where there was a smaller group of us, so we could go around for each person. You just go around and you say one thing you love about the person you're talking about, and you go in the full circle. And at Liza's bachelorette, it was such a gaggle of witches. I'm sorry, a coven, such a large coven that we couldn't do each person. But like, honestly, we should have. We would have just stayed up forever. We did that anyways. But it's just such weddings. Celebrations of love, even just like girl time with your friends. Girl time. Am I from the 90s? I am. I am actually from the 80s. But it's just such a reminder for me of like articulating what you love about someone, and especially in this really tough time we're in as a planet and, you know, society. I don't know. It's just really, really important to, one, make that time, and two, when you have that time, really like say what you feel.
Totally. And I just want to give credit, big credit to Kimmy, because it's also like really hard, I think, sometimes to do that, like especially if your group of friends or circle of friends is not as like vulnerable with each other, which is fine. Lots of groups of friends are contain people who are like a little bit less heart on their sleeve. All people who like, all of this is fine. I'm not shaming people who don't want to gush all the time. I'm like, I was just saying before we signed on, I think my wedding was two feelings. It was like a lot of feelings, but it can be really hard. But I think that one of the things I was thinking before this episode of, like, what are the big takeaways we learned from this experiment, from talking to so many people about dating, from talking to, you know, many guest daters and Carlin amongst them, like, and a lot of times it's like, just take the risk, just send the text, be honest and be a little vulnerable. And I've had this situation with, I was having dinner with a group of friends who, like, I just hadn't seen in a long time. And I just kind of felt like we were all really being a little formal with each other, which is fine. And then we got drunk and I was like, let's all go around the circle and say one thing we're feeling particularly vulnerable about. And they all kind of, like, laughed at me a little bit because this is me in this group. Like, I'm the feelings, like, I'm the theater major. Like, this is what it's going to be. But I forced them to do it. And it was a little scary because I felt like no one wanted to do it. But I was like, no, we're doing it. And it was such a lovely conversation. And, like, so I want to encourage you, just like we always say with dating, to take that step, even if it doesn't feel like totally natural. Be, like, a little bit vulnerable, even with your friends, with your family. Kimmy was just saying, can I share this about your family dinner?
Oh, of course. Lately? Yeah.
Kimmy was saying that they did a compliment circle for her mom who passed away. And that was, like, a really lovely experience, even for her, for date 13, who hadn't been lucky enough to meet her mom.
And my dad's girlfriend, which is, you know, who is amazing. And it's just, it's really, yeah, it's, yes, Liza, I'm glad you shared that because it's just, it helps. It helps all the hard parts too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's nice to just, I don't know, I want to make my family do it. Maybe for Scott's birthday.
Oh, jeez.
My brother has a very big birthday. I won't say what the number is.
Yeah, I think make him do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, compliment circles. What else? I mean, I think basically in this episode, we should talk to Carlin about her dating pause. I'm gonna make us an on-the-fly itinerary. I think we should talk to Carlin about her dating pause. I think we should talk a little bit about, like I was saying, what are the big takeaways from the years of this pod? Like, what are the nuggets of wisdom we want to, like, leave people with for now? And those are kind of the two things that I thought we should maybe talk about. Does anyone have any other points of order? LOL, look at me trying to produce after rambling for 10 minutes.
I was just Googling a little because I do think we should do one final consumption corner.
Mm-hmm.
I may kick it off because I was thinking about it and noodling. With just a shout out to two women who are really early guests on this podcast who have exciting projects that are out or coming out. So one, Amelia Diamond, I think our very first guest ever. She is now, like, she's always been an amazing writer, but she has these pieces in the Sunday Times. And the latest is, who's playing Dungeons and Dragons these days? I actually don't know if this is the latest. I just thought it was great. The Usual Fans and then some, about this, like, this new world of Dungeons and Dragons kind of coming back and being cool, or just not being what we've always traditionally thought. So I don't know. Like, people gave us so much time just to support us at the beginning, and that was everything. And through Amelia, we then met Danielle Prescott, who has her book, Token Black Girl, coming out. I think you can pre-order it. I haven't gotten to read it yet. And please do. You know, I just feel so grateful for all these people who were so generous with their time.
Totally.
They're definitely not listening, but if any of you are, like, thank you so much. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And Amelia in particular, we only met Danielle the one time we were recording, but Amelia we've known for longer and have met in person, like, several times and, like, have more of a relationship with her. She is, so I'm not saying this about Amelia specifically and not Danielle. Amelia is, like, the loveliest human, and every good thing that she gets is, like, so deserved and mm-hmm. earned, and she works so hard, and she is so nice to everyone she encounters, and she is so generous. Like, I am, every time I see, like, an article that she's written pop up from the New York Times, I'm like, oh my God. Like, she's just one of those people who you root for, and she's so kind, and, like, it's, please go read her article. She's also, like, so smart and such a good writer and funny and beautiful. It's too much.
Yeah. Everyone who's been on this podcast is just so beautiful. So beautiful. And we always are like,
it's really stupid.
And we're all beautiful. But, you know, usually I look like a troll on this podcast.
I'm very rarely showered, especially when we're podcasting.
All right. We should have done this something one, about it. Like, done a video to post to the
oh my God.
Instagram so that people can see.
Yeah. And they would say, whoa.
They would say, I do just want to say, like, one note, Liza, I'm so proud of you, like, channeling Brené Brown with your friends. Like, as you were talking about, I was like, Brené Brown is here on this podcast right now. She's being channeled through Liza. Like, so proud of you.
It was literally because I was listening to The Power of Vulnerability on the subway on the way to that dinner. But, like,
I love that for you.
Carlin, do you have some consumption?
I do. I actually was, like, missing the pod a couple weeks ago because I was like, what should I be watching? But then I stumbled upon The Staircase on HBO Max, which I know is, like, based on the documentary, which I will watch later because, like, right now I'm still, like, very, like, in the moment. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that it's crazy. But I just love it so much. I love Toni Collette. I love it. I'm just so involved with this show.
When you're ready for the documentary, make sure you watch the one that's, like, on YouTube, like the old one.
You can watch the Netflix one, too.
But the old one is, like...
This is good. Thank you.
It'll be worth it, even though it's on YouTube. Yeah.
Perfect. I will do it.
It's so good. Yeah. It's such a good documentary. And, like, it's funny. Wait, Kimmy, do you guys have opinions on if he did it or not?
Carlin, there's no
spoiler. I have an opinion.
There's not. It's not a clear answer?
No.
Well, there might be in the show.
I guess that alone might be a spoiler. Yeah, we don't know what the show does.
Okay. They're at the owl part right now.
I think he fully did it, personally.
I do, too. I definitely think he did it.
The way he's, like, also in the Netflix documentary, the way he is, I'm like, this is a guilty man. But we won't go too far, Carlin, because that's my opinion. That's not a spoiler. You think so, too, Liza?
Oh, yeah.
I go back and forth.
I did, too, especially – I still do. And I watched the pilot – of the HBO one and was already like, oh, fuck, I'm into this. But I was on my honeymoon and I was like, I'm going to wait. This is dark.
I've only seen the first one, not because I wanted to quit, but I need to go back to it. But very brutal, the way they show
that. Oh, God. So much.
Yeah, it was graphic, the first episode. I was like, don't watch if you are light of stomach. What is it?
Light stomach?
Like, right? What's the phrase I'm looking for?
Me. If you're like
phrase.
Me and you puke on weak all
stomach.
Modes.
Weak stomach. I was like, is it like stomach?
good consumption. Yeah. I actually watched some serial killer content on Friday, too. I watched the John Wayne Gacy tapes.
Ooh.
That one's intense.
And it's really intense. But I think they do such a great job of highlighting, like, the most important part of that, which is that he particularly preyed on young men who were gay, who were without families. Like, it's just so nefarious that he was looking for people who would not be reported missing. And it's so connected to, like, the way the police were treating gay people in the 70s. It just is like it's so horrible. And I just think sometimes when he's talked about, it's skated over that he was, like, you know, taking particular advantage of these youths who were already at this huge disadvantage. And it's like, yeah, it was very dark. But also, everybody should watch Ink Master. I want to end on a positive note. It's getting to the point where there's no reality competition show I won't watch. It is my genre. It is my happy place. I'll fuck with anytime people are eliminated every episode in a foundational way, I'm there, bitch. Like, that's my jam. Yeah. But Ink Master is so insane. And you get to watch people get really fucked up tattoos, but they don't know they're fucked up. But then other people tell them they're fucked up. And it's also, like, some of the artists are just so fucking creative. They get these prompts and they come up with these, like, amazing. I literally don't have a single tattoo. And I'm still, like, I'm also fully think I'm an expert on tattoos now. Like, I'll be watching it and I'll be like, his line work is jacked up. Like, it's really fucking... It is just, the host is Dave Navarro, who's the most, he's absurd. It's just such a fever dream of insanity. And I can't get enough. I am now a subscriber to Paramount Plus, commercial free, until I finish Ink Master.
I wonder how many other people, like, that was the acquisition. That was the way thing, they got.
Yeah. Probably not a lot. But Netflix got me hooked, baby. They have 2 seasons on there, and they served it to me when I was sick, like, I don't know, 5 months ago or something. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, I should watch more Ink Master. But I synced a bunch of it for the flight. Oh, baby. Good content.
I also just briefly want to shout out this last season of Top Chef, Liza. I watched it.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I'm proud of myself. Top Chef is an amazing, amazing show. And I know I'm late to the party there, but it's so good. And it's then so good. Hacks season 2, I didn't know a show could get so much better in its second season or like stay so strong. It's so, from what I've seen, I just fucking love it. That show
is out. Did you
guys
watch the cruise episode?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched any of it yet. I'm so behind on good content.
I hadn't watched, I remember you recommended it like last year in Consumption Corner. And I was like, oh, I don't think that's going to be my thing. But like before I watched Staircase, and then I watched it, I was like, how did I not watch this? Or it's so good. So it was great to binge the first season and then go straight into the second season. Obsessed. Oh my gosh, the cruise episode
of Gene Smart, it's just like, it's so good. It's so good. Okay,
I'm so excited. Yeah. And that's a show that's just mine too. Jeff has never watched it, so I'm gonna get into it. Yeah, maybe tonight. I have a night alone tonight, which I'm like, oh, I have like a little night alone. So I got a half drunk bottle of ice cold red wine in the fridge.
Beautiful.
Season 2 of Hacks. It's gonna be great.
Love it.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit, Carlina, about what you were feeling dating and why you decided to take a pause on the apps, and just tell us the story and tell us your feelings.
So I guess the story was that I just wasn't having fun. I mean, I think, remember when I first came on the pod, I was like, oh, like my intention is to have fun, is to have a good time. Like if I'm having a bad time, then I'm not going to do it. And I still feel very like true to like holding that up for myself, because online dating, I don't want to say it's gruesome, but like it can get to you. And it was just, I think also part of it was still like really struggling with this move. I love my job, but I think it's just like not being in a big city. Like I actually went back to Chicago a weekend ago just for a visit, and I was just like looking at the stats. It's 3 million, almost 3 million people there, versus like the population of New Haven is like 173 or something. But like New Haven like is the Chicago in terms of like the big city in Connecticut. So it's just so different. And like my radius, because there are so few people, my dating radius on the apps is wider than the width of Rhode Island. Like that's, first of all, Rhode Island is only 38 miles wide. That's crazy. But my dating radius has to be like 55 just to get like anything. Like it has to like dip into New York and all these different areas, because like there are just like so few people, and maybe not that there's like a lesser quality, but maybe like the kind of person that I'm looking for. There's a number of times that I read like I'm not interested in somebody. Oh my gosh, I just cut myself off. But I was gonna reference people like saying like, oh, if you wear a face diaper, don't swipe me or whatever. But then I read something today that was like, he was like, he's a pure blood. And I was like, wait, like true blood? Like the vampire, he means like he's not vax. Like it had like an X and then a needle. Boy. Like he's pure blood. And I was like, is that what we're calling? Is that a thing? Is that like, it was just gross. And it's just more than I'm willing to deal with. Yeah. So it just wasn't fun. And I did get back on. So this was like, oh my gosh, I think it was maybe like February. Is that right? Has it been that long? Maybe like when I texted you guys, like February or March, maybe when I was going to take my pause. And then I recently did get back on just to see like what I was feeling. But I feel like I don't know. Like I've been having like really honest conversations, like not in a sad way. Like we did have that pod of what was it? Like, what if I am alone forever? which saying it is very dramatic. But just like, what does my life look like as a almost 34 year old, and then beyond that, like what do I need? And something that I would love to touch base on like when we get to the second part of like the takeaways of the pod, but like what I need is just love from the people in my life that like truly know me and respect me and support me, and whatever relationship that is, friendship, family, romantic, like that's literally all I need. and I have like a little spiel about love later that I'll get into, but like that's all I really want in anybody that like can't give me that, then, you know, it's just not, what's the point of like, you know, trying and like piecing it together for something that isn't that, like, you know, settling for that or settling for less.
I feel put like, it on a t-shirt.
Yeah. What you just said, Carlin, I really felt at Liza's wedding. This is weird, but because your vows were so beautiful, because the love was so pure, it's like we've all been to weddings where that is not the case. And I just don't think there's any reason to do all of that if it's not a love that is so strong and worth celebrating. I don't know how to say this without sounding like a jerk. I guess I'm just like, there's no reason to settle. Like, as you were speaking, Carlin, even though we've talked about this before, I'm just having this like real epiphany, or like when we've had Shani Silver on and her work, I'm like, we have been fed so many lies, you know, we live in America, but the biggest like thing that my brain can't wrap itself around is just like, oh, you don't need a partner. And I know because of like also the science, there's like, you know, so some of, you know, for years and years, people have been finding partners, but there is actually, you do not need to have a romantic partner to have a fulfilling life. Like,
yeah,
it sounds insane that like it feels like an epiphany every time. But like when you were, it clicked for me again, Carlin, when you were speaking, I was like, it's just so real. And maybe I'm getting into takeaways, but wow, struggling to say words.
It's so true. And it's like, you know, I also feel like a lot of people want a life partner that's more like a business partner. And mm-hmm. I'm just here to say there are things that are easier about that, certainly. And there are things that are not easier about that. So it's kind of a wash, you know? It's like, look, it's great to have somebody else to help me lift things and to, like, help me keep an eye on finances, which are not my strength.
Definitely and also, a theme it, like, of your wedding.
I know. Literally every toast.
I was like, damn. It was like there was a roast section. Drag of the me. Like,
everybody was like, before Jeff, Liza was broke and living on the streets. And now she.
Now she knows what a budget is. It was crazy.
Dude, my dad was hammered. He really dragged me. He was like, well, my wife stole my speech, so I'm just going to talk off the cuff. Great. But like, yeah, there are certain things that are way easier, and there are certain things that were way easier about being single, like not having to make every decision together, not having to, like, I mean, that's the big one, not having to share a space, not having to compromise on everything. Like, I do genuinely believe that the lie we've been told that like our life is easier if you're partnered is a lie. There's pros and cons to both. So, you know, and there's also lots of ways to achieve that if you want. I am still like, dude, the best move is to just get your own studio apartment in the same building that your best friend has a studio apartment, and be like, great, we're life partners now. You know, like, come help me lift this. I'm doing laundry. Do you want me to do yours? I just cooked. Do you want half of this? Like, there are so many models for that. And I know it's obviously easier said than done, but yes, I think that the thing that Carlin is saying, which is like love is the most important thing. And there's a lot of loveless marriages. There's a lot of loveless long-term relationships. So if it's not love, it's not it.
Damn, put that on a t-shirt. Like, that's totally, yeah.
I'm just rephrasing what you said. Any other thoughts on this? And Carlin, so what's next? So do you not want to date for a while, or do you just not want to be on dating apps?
I feel like I wouldn't mind dating.
Or is it
like,
just irrelevant? Sorry, I interrupted.
No. I think so. I did like match with somebody that like got me like very excited in a wholesome. Well, I guess like in a lot of different ways. But anyway, but like there was someone that, like, you know, you had that feeling of, what is it, like, possibility and, like, just excitement. Like, and I hadn't felt that in a long time, like, from the apps. Also, just want to say something in addition to just, like, his general look. There's this question on Bumble that's, like, what your zombie apocalypse plan is, and his was to keep you alive, which was just like so hot. So good. I was like at work and I was like, oh my God, because my plan is to just die. Like I would just be like, just take me. There's no way this is going to work out. I'll so, right. Like take me demons. It's fine. Yeah. Right. But it was like a very like John Krasinski in like a Quiet Place like vibe happening that made me feel a lot of things. But then he just didn't say anything to my message. And it was just like, there you go. Like, that's just, and I mean, being able to like release it and not kind of like drag that with me into like, you know, any like future experiences, like, is nice. But I think my thing is like, if I don't feel that excitement, if it feels like work, like a struggle, because like we've always talked, I excel very well at like talking to strangers and just like bringing up random topics or whatever. So if it feels like an extreme effort, like, I'm just not going to fucking do it. And it's just, so if I need to be paused forever, then like that is what it is. Like I think me as a person, I am maybe slightly interesting and maybe engaging enough that it's not like, it's not like I feel like, oh, I need to take better pictures or, oh, I need to write a better profile. Like those are like top notch. I'm not fixing them. They're done. They're fine. They're great. And like, if that doesn't speak to anyone, whatever. I literally can't do anything for you. I'm not going to change it. That's what this package is. Period. That's it.
And it's a very beautiful package, very smart, very successful. Like dating apps
hilarious
are
wise.
Yeah. they need to like they. We need to like rework dating again. So I'm really struggling with words today, but I feel like they're, you know, dating apps at first really changed the way we could date and meet, and obviously were a huge part of this podcast when I was going on dates. But like, is Carlin, you are not alone in these feelings, and I feel like someone needs to come in and do something different. Apps are not it. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think also Carlin starts from a place where like, I don't think you're afraid of dating. And that, I think, was Kimmy's whole goal when she started the podcast. And that, I think, is like, well, I'll save it for the takeaways. But like, that, I think, is what we want people to achieve. Is that like, dating's there if you want it. Yeah. And I think that's exactly what you're saying. It's like, maybe at one point it will be fun. Or you'll move to a new city and you'll be like, I want to see what they're like in this city. Which, it again, it's like, it's a tool and it's not anything else. So if it's fun, it's like a toy, you know? And there's nothing wrong with a toy. It's just like, you play this. I'm not saying a sex toy, but it, like you
like
play with it
like,
when you're
a Tamagotchi. Yeah. Check in on it.
Totally. Yeah. And like, if you're having fun, that's what it's for. And if you're not having fun, maybe it's time to bring it to Goodwill.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Amen.
Let's take a quick break, Aruni, and then we'll be back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I mean, kind of keying into what Liza said, right? It's about like vulnerability and authenticity. I think I'm getting into my takeaway because I'm so excited, but it's just, I don't know. It's like when people, like apps could be so good, but then nobody wants to be vulnerable. I mean, it's hard for sure, but I feel like for the amount of profiles that I read that are like gross and like face diapers, there are some that like they're really like, I just want a genuine connection. Like I think I read that more than anything else. That's just like, I just want your body, I just want to touch your butt or whatever.
Wait, so, by the way, I'm just going to have restarted when you started this.
Perfect.
We're back. Basically.
Yeah, we're back.
And I'm going to have, great. I'm backdating our backness. Carlin started saying really like smart shit on our break. So it was a abrupt re-entry. Okay. Carlin, continue.
But yeah, so it's like, I see more people about like wanting, saying that they want a genuine connection than like just anything physical. So like the idea that we all want that in our lives isn't crazy, but then when we get on these apps or get out into the real world, it's like dating, ugh, gross, why would I do that? And like, I just don't, like, nobody wants to be vulnerable enough to say that, and it's just a bunch of bullshit. So you're just gonna lie to yourself for the rest of your life and like have like unmeaningful relationships. Like, but when I can have, and like segueing into my takeaway kind of, but like for Liza's bachelorette party, like I had met so many of her friends just for the first time, and when I say that I love them, like, I'm not kidding. Like, I think of Sarah Winter, like, we've maybe said, well, I guess we were drunk, so maybe, like, more than 200 words. But, like, you know, if you think about, like, the number of minutes, but, like, I love her. Like, Katie Wiggin, like, I love her. I love all of them. And I could cry just thinking about it. Like, what is the point if you can't have that if you can't be vulnerable enough to like admit that you want that in your life? And maybe you don't, like maybe there are people that don't want it, but to be vulnerable and say like, I don't want that, I just want your ass, like I'd love that in a profile. I mean, to see that and then swipe left, but like, you know, like I would appreciate that so much more. But like, we as a society just like struggle so much with it, and I'm not saying that I've never struggled with it, but I just think, goddamn, people, like, dig in a little bit deeper. I think we would all just have a better time, maybe, or worse.
Yeah, go to therapy and just admit that we're humans. We want love. We just, like,
right.
We literally all do. Maybe, like, one in every 100,000 people, I can't even talk, is like, I'm fine. You know what I mean? But, like, you're probably not that person. Yeah. Okay, so, oh my God, this is going to be so, speaking of feelings. How do we want to do this? Do we want to go around and just like say what our biggest hope is for people listening, or what our biggest takeaway is, or what our goals are? Does anyone want to go first? Oh my God, I feel like such a kindergarten teacher right now, and I'm sorry.
I'm grateful because I am a kindergartner today. That's the mind space I'm in.
Okay, great.
Carlin had a lovely idea to do a compliment circle for the pod. I'm working it out in real time. If you've been here a while, you know we do this. Should we combine these with takeaways? Is it separate? Yeah, is this kind of our...
I feel like once I get on a roll, like my compliment and my takeaway will merge. Mm-hmm. I feel like since I'm the newest, I should go first to give you guys some time. So I would say my compliment circle, I think, one, it's been so lovely to connect with Kimmy. And I mean, this is part of our COVID reconnection thing. This kind of stemmed from it. But I think also it's been helpful for me, which I don't know why I say that as a surprise, but it is. Like, I have like a Sunday morning listen through when I catch up on old episodes, and it's just, I'll be laying in bed being like, yes, damn, yes, and like taking notes and things. And I think it's right. So in moments like we are unable to be vulnerable with ourselves, I think it's really nice to hear people that are around like a similar age and talking about things that we're going through, to like hear that they might be struggling or know somebody that's struggling, and then you feel like less alone. I think, I mean, we reference it all the time, but like the body positivity episode, like I still think about that and get emotional thinking about that, because it's just, it is just so hard to be a woman. And with, even without society saying things, like it can happen from within like your own family, like what should be a safe space for you. I don't know. So I guess my compliment is for someone that I think I am like slightly put together and like on like a mindful path in my life. I think it's been really nice to be a part of this podcast and listen to it, because it like brings up things that like I'm maybe too scared to think of myself or to address for myself, but you guys do it in such like a gentle and loving way that like if I have an answer of like, oh, I don't know, or if I have the thought like, oh shit, what if I am going to be alone forever? It's not something that I feel shame about. It's like, you know what? Let's work through that thought process. Let's work through those feelings. And like, what the fuck does it mean? And usually it just means like, it's okay. Take a breath, take a pause, and get some therapy. Like, you'll be all right. And so I feel like that's like my compliment for the pod. It's just like, thanks for helping out, y'all.
Oh my God. Is that good?
Is that nice?
That's very nice. Thank you for helping out, is how I feel. And oh my gosh, Carlin, to have heard so much about you, but then connect with you in this way, I'm really grateful. And I love you. And my biggest fear, sorry, and this is why I was like, Liza, we can't end it, is that both of our relationships, all three of our relationship as well, will not be the same. And it's because I need to do a better job of keeping in touch, and I am on the West Coast. But I don't – these are really important. I feel very lucky to have women like you in my life.
Same.
Yeah.
And it'll be weird for you and I, Kimmy, because, like, we have had this built-in catch-up. Like, we haven't – and in the habit of catching up otherwise, because we talk for like an hour before we record the podcast.
I know.
And then we record the podcast. So now you're just going to get random FaceTimes from me.
I'm going to do it. I know. It's like
weird West Coast hours. You're going to be like, Liza, I'm working. Like,
no.
I'm going to be like, sorry, I'm drunk.
I'm going to be so grateful every time. And I'm going to be better about anyone listening there who I'm terrible at keeping in touch with. I don't know what's wrong with me, but.
This is part of the theme, is that it's been hard. You cannot do everything at once. You can't. And we've been trying, and that's part of definitely both you and my personalities, Kimmy.
Yeah.
Carlin has a much better way of being like, no, I need this time for myself. You're like fucking good at that, and it's something I'm trying to be better at. Okay, I'm going to do a compliment circle for the pod specifically for what it's meant to my life selfishly. And then maybe I'll do a compliment circle like outward. But I have felt so lucky to connect with so many like cool fucking smart women. It's like you were just talking about Amelia Diamond or Danielle Prescott. Like those are people who we had on the pod years ago, and I'm still following their careers, their work, their like the awesome fucking things they're doing. And we've had probably like 100 people like that on this podcast. And I have felt a connection with almost all of them. Like we've had an hour long, very personal, vulnerable talk with tons of women from almost every age group who live all over the country and the world, who have all different like thoughts and relationships to dating themselves, their like personal relationship to it. It's been so enriching to me. Like, I feel like I've learned so much, and it's been so life-changing. And then also to have like these long-term connections with Carlin as a dater, Olivia, like, of course, and of course, I'm so proud of you, Kimmy. You were the original like brave, vulnerable woman. And that's my biggest compliment circle. And I'm so happy that it led you to someone who you're in love with. But I'm also just so happy that it like helped you conquer the part of yourself that was like really, really doubtful of yourself. And then I was able to like succubus off your bravery and feel that way myself and feel less afraid of taking risks. And I didn't do anything vulnerable. So since the beginning of my relationship with Kimmy, her bravery has astounded me. But this podcast has been another step where like I've seen that bravery just – it's not even bravery. It's like boldness. It's like – because bravery implies fear, but you just are so bold, and you always have been, and I've always glommed onto it, and you just like head first were like, fuck it, I'm doing it, and like I'm making this happen in every way, and it's so, and that's how you are with everything, and it's so, I am like the goose right behind you who's just, what's it called, the one that's like, you know, in the jet stream.
No.
I wish I knew what this word was because it would be more impactful. But that's how I feel. I'm so that's what I have the it's yes, that's how I have felt about this podcast.
Liza, I have never That means so much, but you need to know that I don't think I was ever, I was very different and less bold and brave before I met you and had your support. And I remember meeting you at Esper and thinking how cool and smart you were and how you, like, seeing anything cool and smart in me and having that kind of, you know, it's, again, I wish I was better at articulating today. There's no, like, filter on the support you were willing to give to. I'm missing the right words. You're just so giving.
And there's no limit to her support.
To everybody else. It's selfless. It's your belief in me is the only reason. Like, this podcast is the most obvious example. But everything else we ever worked on, without you, I wouldn't have done any of it. Any of it.
I mean, same. It's like we really grew up together. We in, did. Like, just figuring out how to conquer the things that were holding us back. And it's, I, you know, I don't know where I would be without you.
Me too. I would truly be a different person. I used to be so impatient and angry all the time. And I learned from you how to be less of a bitch. No, but really, like, really,
I don't think that's true. I think you had a fire and have a fire. And I didn't, because I was just stoned on the couch all the time. And you were like, Liza, we got to email some people. We want to do this. We got to, like, reach out to some people. Like, you know, the things, the career and the ability I have now. Now we're compliment circling each other.
I know. I keep derailing us. I'm sorry.
Usually Kimmy and I do this drunk at bars. And now we're doing it sober on the internet. But it's truly, like, it's the growth continues. And I know that, like, this is not the last thing we'll work on together. I don't even think this is, like, the full stop end of us podcasting together.
Yeah.
But that's just how it goes. We work together, and that's, we're coworkers. So that's, you know, what we, part of our relationship and a part that I really value. So that's not going anywhere.
Definitely it can't. I won't let it.
Here's my compliment circle outward briefly, is just that I think our listeners are, like, really kind, good people, and I will always be proud of, like, the community we have. We've had a secret Facebook group that's fairly active for, like, 5 years, and I don't think it's ever gotten into, like, name calling or negativity. Like, there has been maybe one instance where Kimmy texted me and was like, maybe we should pause comments on this, but it was like a conversation that was veering negative, and then someone came in and was like, you're right, I'm sorry, like, I over, like, it's just really, really speaks so much to, I think, who you guys are who are listening. It makes me feel so happy that, like, you're the people we're talking to on the internet. I always feel really, it's something that I will smile about, definitely when we get messages or emails or anything, but also just sometimes privately where I'm like, oh, there's just, like, really nice people out there who are listening to us, and that makes me feel really happy.
The true gems, like, you are gems, mm-hmm. because that is the case. I feel so lucky. And I don't even if we were, you know, a 10 times bigger podcast, I still feel like it would be true gems, because if you're not a gem, I don't think you'd like a lot of the things. Like, the trolls wouldn't end up in that secret Facebook group unless they were just looking at trolls, that they would. But it's just the love and support and vulnerability, like, talk about vulnerability and the messages we get. Or I'm just so grateful for, you know, anyone who's listened to this, supported us in any way, but really how you've been able to share with us, like, what has helped, what we could do better on, and always in a kind way, and just lifted each other up as well. It's so beautiful. It's we're never going to get rid of, like, the community part, that secret Facebook group, and it's been such an honor to have such amazing listeners, and yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Kimmy, do you want a compliment circle? Now it feels so, like,
I know. I fucked up because I jumped in every time.
No.
I jumped in.
No, not at all. And you also don't have to. We can do our takeaways and, like.
I'll do a compliment circle to the podcast for really, I guess this is a weird one because there will be takeaways. But it was, and, you know, Liza, you were a huge part of this, but this podcast is still really kind of therapeutic for me. So Carlin, you're a part of this as well. But early on, this, like, saved me from some of the hardest parts of grief, like having this project, having this new way of looking at things and not going to like the darkest places. And I think dating was an area that I always beat myself up on within. So, you know, not that I needed to have a – this podcast could have been about anything, and I think it would have still been like a really important thing for me, and especially that first year after my mom died. But like, I don't know. It's just so amazing to have created something that like even if two people listen to it, which might be the case right now, just like the with your support, Liza, us putting something together, just like a really good way to shift the energy of what was a really hard year. So that's like that's a testament to, again, everyone who's been involved with this too. But I really it's very selfish. I'm like, hey, thank you, podcast, for helping my grief. But it's really cool how, again, connecting with other people. Like, it's just the thesis of this podcast. Like, connecting, creating, like, being vulnerable is just, like, all right there for us to do. But sometimes it just feels so hard to do it. And you will feel better after you do. Whether it's dating or just, like, saying the compliment to your friend, you will feel better.
Yeah. Love, bitch. It's truly, it's like, but you were smart enough to know that too. Be like, I need something that is a regular practice of connection. Yeah. And like, I really, that's exactly what I was saying in mind too, of like connecting with all these people. Like it really is, it all comes down to that. And like, I know I talked, I think on our last episode about this episode, this podcast episode about rethinking your digital life. Mm-hmm. But like something that really stood out to me, this look, would it be a podcast if I didn't rant a little bit against social media? But it was the guy interviewed in this podcast episode, which it was, I'll find and put in the show notes maybe. I'm like, we have more important stuff to put in the show notes. But it was about how, you know, some of the big companies, social media companies, could easily make a button where you said, hey, I want to see someone in person. Like, I'm setting a status that's like, I feel like hanging out with another human, and anyone in like a 5-mile radius who I'm friends with would get that alert. And if they felt like hanging out too, they could. But they will never do that because they make money by keeping you on their apps. And the apps are specifically encouraged to keep you there, and they are a way of feeling, and this is applicable to dating apps too, they're a way of feeling connected, but they actually are the opposite of connection. You're alone on your phone. I've been doing like a lot of trying to rethink and retool my relationship with my phone since I listened to this podcast episode, and it's been so positive. So I also would just really encourage people as much as possible to remember to connect with yourself and to connect with others. And when you're with your friends, make them put the phone face down on the table, and the first person to pick it up has to pay. This is my, like, I hate ranting about it, but truly, like, one of the reasons that I think things are so tough right now, especially in the last 2 years we've had, is that everyone, I think, is a little lonely and like really craving connection. And I didn't even know I was feeling that way. But like all the love I felt at like my bachelorette party, my wedding, really reminded me like, oh yeah, this is a really like, this is in that movie, Inside Out. It's like, this is a core, this is an core island memory of my personality. Mm-hmm. You know, this is really important and I've been neglecting it. And part of that is because of the world we live in and everything that's happening. And, but yeah. I'm ranting so fucking hard, you guys. I'm sorry. Somebody stop me.
I was like, have either of you seen Top Gun? Because there's a no phones on the bar situation. Jennifer. Okay, guys, Top Gun's good. I'm sorry. That's it was really good. That's
what I've been. Wait, the new one?
The new one. Yeah,
I guess,
sorry.
Obviously the new one.
The new one. Yeah. The old one I've seen once in my life, and I was like 20 something once I finally saw it. Yeah. The new one is just like, I don't know. I liked it. I did not expect to. But there is a no phones on the bar rule, or Tom Cruise has to buy everyone's drinks because, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
So anyway, connection, vulnerability, what else is a takeaway?
I think also something that you said, Kimmy, like, I guess we've all been saying vulnerability and connection, but I think kind of just taking back to like our original theme of pausing Like, the same goes for that. Like, that also is a very vulnerable choice, like, to make for yourself, to pause whatever you need to do. And I think, like, taking that time is really important. I think, obviously, we're in a society that, like, you know, it's hustle, hustle, hustle. Economy's failing. We all need to be making so much money to have a hat. Like, let's not even get into it. Like, it stresses me out. But, like, I have to take a pause from that because I will spin out. I just can't do that. So I think there's something to be said for, you know, realizing kind of just, I think something I said before, like, the first relationship you have is with yourself. And, like, you just have to pay attention to that. Like, I think if, Liza, if you don't mind me sharing it, but so Liza's about those people, like, my God, they were so good. But at one point she is trying to find a word to describe her and Jeff's relationship. I feel like it's really personal, so I'm not going to describe the word, but one of the other words that you used was, you said, like, it's astonishing. Like, in that, I just love that word. Like, it's astonishing. Like, love can be astonishing and life-changing, and it is maybe, like, one of the greatest and, like, worthiest pursuits you can do in your life. And again, not even just talking about romantic love, but, like, friends, like, there's just, like, no better word than astonishing, and then the word that Liza used, but I'm not going to use it. But it's...
You can. It's just cheesy. It's the only reason I'm embarrassed.
I feel like if I was going to say, like, that's so cheesy. You guys had to be there. It was beautiful. But she said, like, and just the way that she said, I mean, we were, like, geeking out about it. Like, there was a beautiful pause, and it was just great. But, like, their love is a miracle. And love is, like, a fucking miracle. The idea that two people or whatever kind of group you're looking at can find each other and like each other enough to, like, want to be around and, like, take them through your shit. Again, not limiting this to romantic relationships. Like, even, like, look at Liza and I. Like, we were close in college, and then life happened, whatever, and didn't talk for a number of years. And because of COVID, came right back to it because that... a fucking miracle of love. And, like, now I owe so much to her for connecting me to these people that I otherwise would not have met, but, like, cannot imagine my life without. And so I just can't, like, I just, like, can't say enough about, like, the support that is within, sorry, the support that is within that group, because to me, like, it has been life changing. Like, I honestly do think, like, I think of getting, like, a big condo, like, where we all live together in New York or whatever. It's like, what do we have to do to be together for the rest of our lives? And I just, God, yeah, I just can't say enough of it. Like, my heart, oh my gosh, yeah, my heart was so incredibly full when I'm with you guys, talking to you, even, like, you know, just three people from the coven right now. Coven, I don't even know how many we have. It must be like 10 or 12, but
I think it's 13, which 13? Is like, oh, I love that. Yeah.
You know, yeah, I just can't say enough about love and, you know, in support of love. It's a beautiful thing.
It really is. And I do not ever take for granted the love in my life and the romantic love in my life. Like, it's all invaluable. But I think that the biggest thing, like, another really big takeaway that I think everyone should have is just, oh my God, you guys slap me, backhand me.
Jesus.
Like, loving your – so okay, here's how I'm getting – I'm going to say love yourself, and it's going to be annoying, but, like, let me get there. So I think the biggest takeaway – well, I don't take words – put words in Camille's mouth or take steal one of her takeaways.
No, stop it. Okay, all right. Steal I love them. You. I love
okay.
You.
Oh my God, I've been qualifying for like a full minute. So I think that Kimmy had this amazing transformation when she realized that, like, anything that didn't go her way in dating had nothing to do with her, because she was herself, and herself is an amazing fucking woman that so many people love. So if she goes on a date with someone and doesn't get a text back, or doesn't, or after a few dates they ghost, or they tell her it's not the right thing, or any of those things, or if she does that to anyone, it is just that it's not love. And again, love is like, you can't define it. It's astonishing. It is like this fucking spark thing that has infinite factors. So that transformation of realizing like, oh, this is actually just not about like things I'm doing wrong or problems with my body or the way I look or all of these lies we tell ourselves and we're taught to tell ourselves as women, because we are taught that like finding a man and locking him down, then we're successful and then we've whatever. So all of the narrative is towards that. And so I think, so when I say like that loving yourself is the most important thing, that's what I mean. So we'll end this podcast. I mean, I'm not saying we're ending right now, but like we always end this podcast with go on a date. And I still feel that way. But what it really means is like, don't be afraid to go on a date. I was always afraid. And I got lucky with Jeff to meet someone who was so vulnerable and called me on so much bullshit. It's insane. For like 2 years, just stripped away layers of bullshit. And that is because he had done a lot of work on himself and he comes from a family that's very honest. And those are all lucky things. But most people, both people have all these vulnerabilities. And there isn't someone who's willing to be like, listen, fucker, you have to say how you feel right now. And that's hard. So like you have to do the work on just knowing that you are in your state as you are totally worthy of love, even if you're not. None of us are perfect. There's a million things I want to work on in myself, and I will continue to forever as long as I'm on this earth. So like that's a given. Don't worry about that. But you're definitely lovable. You definitely have people who love you. Like, so great. Go find one who loves you and wants to fuck you.
Yeah. I think it's like not taking it personally. Like,
yeah,
Liza, when you said this feels like kind of like a shallow example, but when you said about like, or what my body looks like the way I just weirdly was looking at some old pictures where I was much thinner, like to the body positivity in that phase where I thought I was undateable and banging my head against the wall, dating people who didn't like me back. And it wasn't about my body, and it wasn't about my personality, and it wasn't even, like, it was about that it wasn't right. It wasn't right because it just wasn't right. And it's so hard not to take it personally because dating is so vulnerable. But, like, I don't know, and I'm not the only proof. I am such proof that, like, it can happen. It never happened for me, and then it happened. Like, it wasn't, and nothing changed in me other than the way I was viewing things and approaching dating. What I really admire about you, Carlin, is that you came into this podcast and dating without, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth either, but I felt like you had such a healthier relationship to just, like, that part of it. That's really hard. Like, of course things can still feel personal and challenging and sad if they end and you didn't want them to, but like you had such a healthier point of view from my perspective on dating than I did when I came in. So it's kind of a testament to, like, I guess no matter what phase you're in, like, dating doesn't have to define you. Yeah,
I think it's a lot about, I think the difference between like however old I was starting this pod and like being 10 years younger, the difference is that like I was choosing myself, like I was looking for someone to like compliment my life or whatever, but like putting myself first. Like, you shouldn't, it's like, stop abandoning yourself to make something work. Stop abandoning yourself for others. Cause at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, like it's just you looking at yourself in the mirror. And I just, it's interesting because I think I just, and I still struggle with this, but the thing that I try to do is like stop taking responsibility for like other people, like, you know, taking, like, seeing their actions towards me that I don't like, that make me feel bad, but then like it's like I would absorb it and then turn it around and be like, you did this, like, or you didn't do that, so this happened. And it's like, don't take responsibility for their stuff, for their emotional unavailability, their immaturity, their lack of vulnerability. Don't take responsibility. You don't, I'd say, like, leave that shit at the door. Don't bring that to me. Don't bring that over here. And that's like a daily struggle though. Like, I still, especially in dating, being a woman, of course I'm going to think like, oh, maybe it is me. But like, I really have to work to remind myself, like, I am just Carlin. If we don't vibe or whatever, we don't get along, that's fine. I only want to be with somebody that I get along with, that likes this vibe, that likes this girl that for the life of her cannot stay up past 9:30. I just can't do it. I cannot do it.
You stayed up so late at my
wedding, though. I know. I didn't have to take a nap at all. So there was like the after party. I was going to go to 2:30, but like things were wrapping up at 2, but everyone was like, car on stage at 2:30. I was like, I'm not staying till 2:30 unless we're dancing. And then me, Samantha, and Wu like turned it into a dance party. It was great. It's like, one way this is going to happen if this girl's dancing. And she danced. She danced.
I mean, seeing you on the floor tearing it up at 2:30 in the morning, potentially the highlight of the
it was a sight to be seen. I know. I'm just like, no nap. Like, come on. That's amazing. Pretty good.
Really, really proud of you.
Like, not even a nap at the table, if as Liza and Kimmy have witnessed. I'm talking like
a mid-conversation.
Mid-conversation.
Carlin, you know what it is? It's like an eye rest, really.
It's most definitely it's in my head. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to rest my eyes.
Yeah, for a second. Yeah. And then my favorite, though, is the moment when you pop them awake and you try to join the conversation, but it's like from like, you know, like maybe like 3 minutes ago. it's something I dearly want to capture this on video someday just to have. So watch when I'm sad. It's amazing
to see it, because it's like, yeah, it's a lot, but
yeah,
it's not a lot. It's like the most it's endearing.
It's
thing.
The most charming. Yeah, like I mean, there. It's like it's just fucking adorable.
I just honestly like cannot wait to meet the person that's like, you know what? I love that. I want to be married to that. I want to see this every day of the week.
Yes.
Struggle.
but like truly, yes.
But right.
There is like, that person. Yeah.
Like
yes.
I am excited for it. Like no rush or anything. I just think that would be super delightful.
Dude. And isn't that the fucking vibe?
Right.
Like they're there. Like, you can be excited for them without it being like, but why aren't they here right now? And I'm mad and my parents are mad at me for not. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're all taught. And it's just fucking wrong. And there's so much. I mean, I just to anyone listening, there is so you have love in your life. Like, cultivate it. Fucking revel in it. I feel like such a goddamn hippie. What other takeaways? Anybody else?
It's related, but just – and it's been said in a million movies and everything, other podcasts, but the stories that we tell ourselves, you really have to put in the work, whether it's therapy, whether it's starting a podcast. It just, like, give yourself credit, because those stories get really ingrained even when you know that they're lies that you're telling yourself, or, like, for me it was the undateable thing, or, like, I'm not worthy. And just give yourself – be gentle with yourself. Be patient with yourself as you undo those stories, because they are so deeply, you know, from childhood and all of our experiences. And for some people, you know, really serious traumas, they become part of our fabric. And they will become – like sharing those things and working through them. You can still be lovable, like – the darkness, you know, someone will even love your darkness. I feel like I've kind of learned that. But also, I don't know, just like, I don't, that was really big for me. Like, these stories were really hard to untell and still are. The body stuff, it's fucking still going on. Yep. I'm really, struggling with the idea of a bathing suit, and I'm 33 years old. Like, it's, and I know better. Like, I know that's not the vibe. I know that I'm actually happier if I can just not worry about the 5 pounds. But can't undo that one yet.
Yeah, it's interesting.
No, you go ahead.
It's interesting when you were talking about Inside Out, Liza, like, so the core memory thing, it's, if you think about, like, all, like, the stories, I think connecting, like, core memories to the stories that we tell ourselves that have shaped us, because, like, that's our history. And I think, maybe, like, visually, Kimmy, as you were talking about it, it's like, so I can't change what happened to me. I can't change the way that my parents raised me or like the things that I went through, but I can stop like turning the light on, like, you know, in like in the movie, like the lights turn off and everything. Like, I could stop like retelling that story and like bringing it up. Like, I was thinking the other day, it's like, I'd say sometimes I'd like, you know, oh, like Carlin's like sad childhood, like story hours or something. Like, and I say that like jokingly, but also really, but anyway, but like, you know, to stop like leading with that, like it's like, I am who I am right now because of that for sure. But I feel like it doesn't need to be like dredged up every day. Like, here's my suitcase of like childhood trauma, and opening it up, it's like, what would you like to talk about? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's fine if it activates on its own because I'm being vulnerable and discussing it with somebody, but I don't have to keep turning the fucking light on and being like, let me showcase and focus on this, because it's just a goddamn swimsuit, Carlin. Just like, you're literally never going to get in a body of water again, which in my head, like, I have had that thought, like, I just won't ever do it. But it's like, you know, why deprive yourself from things because, like, you know, you keep dredging it up, like, and it's worked to like shut that suitcase like every day, but I think that's better than like giving into it. But that, I say that as somebody that's going to struggle with that like for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But,
and know. So many of us will, we truly, and like knowing that we're in it together is
really helpful.
Really helpful, because I know what both of you look like, and mm-hmm. I like unironically think you're both like such fucking hot bitches. So it's just so absurd. But I, on my honeymoon, on one day, I was basically in a bathing suit for like 2 weeks, and day to day I looked in the mirror and saw different things.
Yep.
Literally, like very different things. And it was like, became an experiment. I brought 5 bathing suits. We did laundry once, right? I was like, I can, you know, whatever. So I was wearing the same bathing suit sometimes a day or two later, and I was like having completely different visions and responses to my body in them. And it was so frustrating and so angering. And I just feel like, oh my God, I've done so much mental work. I've done so much like yoga and trying to connect with myself. And so like, I've been working on this shit for so many fucking years, and I still just can't put on a bathing suit and go to the beach without it being like a fucking, like, you know, experience, emotional experience. And that is like really, really maddening. And I just, in terms of takeaways, want everyone to know you're not alone in that, and that it should not stop you from connecting with people and feeling sexual and feeling attractive. Like,
yeah.
It did for me for years, and it still fucking does, even though I've been having sex with the same person for 8.5 years. It still affects that part of my life.
I had a meltdown at your wedding.
That's insane.
Seeing the pictures of me at your wedding, I just was like, what the fuck? Like, I have it with the person I've been having sex with. Like, I'm like, what? Like, a true meltdown. I don't know what that person looks like. I'm not, like, meltdown. And the same way I would have meltdowns about, I don't know, you're also not alone in any fear about dating. Like, it feels like that, too. We're all in this together. Literally all of us. Even these, you know, fuckboys. There's, like, we're all in the vulnerability part, too. We're all in it together. This is all the scary stuff. This is because it's the most personal, intimate, and, like, vulnerable.
Yeah, totally. And it doesn't, like, great examples here. It doesn't go away because you're in a relationship.
Yes, yes.
The idea that someone, like, wanting to have sex with you regularly will flip that switch off, turn the light off permanently, take the light bulb out,
right,
throw it in the garbage or the recycling. It doesn't. That's not it.
Which is why you don't need to be dating, because it's actually about the relationship with yourself. Because that part of my relationship with myself, I still haven't worked out the body stuff. And so it doesn't matter. There is no cure. The thing I thought would be the cure, like, oh, I'm lovable. Like, it's not. It didn't work.
Yeah.
And that's not to be like, well, we're all fucked. But just to be like, that's literally the evidence that you don't need whatever you think the need that other person's going to fulfill. Like, other than, yes, it's okay to want love and genuine connection. But there's no fix. Whether, like, it could be financial stability. Whatever it is, it's not going to do it. You have to work that out with yourself.
Yeah. And understand that it's like, you know, loving yourself is like it's a practice. It's not a goal. You know, it's like.
Like yoga.
I will lose 5 more pounds and then I'll really. It's like,
Watch out, world.
Yeah.
I actually feel that way because I can't lose.
I literally feel that way. I'm like, I mean, 20
so
pounds,
do I.
Like,
we all.
The real Carlin. Fucking... Here she comes.
And, but the weird thing is we know it.
We've been
talking
about
it. And I was reminded of that looking at photos last night. So I was just like, whoa, I thought I was struggling then. I looked skinny there in this bathing suit photo. I don't know how I ended up there, but I did. I was looking for some other old photo. And
it's just silly. Like,
I was so unhappy.
It absorbed so much fucked up shit, mostly to get us to buy products.
Yeah.
To be different than we are. Like,
late stage capitalism,
Jeff and I just did a budget meeting last night. And when I looked at the amount of money I spent on my physical body, like, in the months leading up to the wedding to try to look my best for one day, I'm like, fuck, I wish.
I mean,
I had
you were
used
a goddess.
That money.
Liza looked fucking
our Jamaican
incredible.
Queen.
But I was like, I wish I had used that money to make a movie. I mean, it wouldn't have been enough to make a something. You know, it's like one of those things where it's like, and we've absorbed that forever. It's getting better. I really hope that little girls today will absorb way less of that. But it's tough. And like, it comes into dating in such a big way. So like, I'm really glad we're having like this depth of a conversation about it, because it's like an undertone to everything we talk about here.
Yep.
Is like the way we relate to how we look and our bodies. And it's
sad. An undercurrent to everything in life, obviously, but it feels so directly correlated in a way. Okay, that was not really a new thought. It was just a whoa. Yeah.
No, it's crazy. But honestly, here's a takeaway. Go with your female friends to a day spa where nudity is required in the female locker room. No, Carlin, don't make that
Carlin,
face.
Carlin, my face wonder- is.
No. Please, and here's the thing. Now that you guys have made this.
No,
note,
I don't want to.
We're doing it. It's
Liza.
Done. All three of us. Next time we're together, I'm not kidding. Because here's the thing. And I've talked about my friend who.
The.
Charlotte, I can say her name. Who hippie camp? Go to one of these friends' spas with your friends, and do a compliment circle in the hot tub. Going to one of these places and seeing so many women's bodies in the same place was one of the most positive, forward, momentum-y experiences I've had in feeling comfortable in my body. Because you sit there in a room of 100 women and you're like, oh my God, it's just a body. And there are women in here who I would see with clothes on, who I would think were perfect, who you see them naked and you're like, it's just a body. It's like every woman has cellulite and stretch marks and this and that. And also every woman, hippie fucking forever, is like kind of beautiful and hot. Just like all these like big curvy women. And it's just like, it's like you sit there and you're like, oh shit, like women are awesome. And it really was such a life-changing experience. And after 5 minutes, it's not weird that you're buck-ass naked with your friends. I swear to you. They're both looking. I wish the listeners could see your faces.
In Iceland, I had to be in a communal shower room where you had to naked shower before going in one of those like lagoons, hot springs.
Mm-hmm.
And people just didn't give a fuck. My mom and I were like so nervous getting undressed and like got our bathing suits on really quickly. And I see where you're going, Liza. It's just, you're going to have to give me an alcohol.
Yeah. If we could pregame that, that'd be great.
You guys can both have an alcohol. If it can get you into, I feel like a predator.
No. I think it's problematic that that's where my mind went. I was like, climby, and then.
Oh, God, you're right. Here's how to fix your problems. Get your friends naked and get them drunk first.
There you go. If I can leave you with any takeaways.
That's the takeaway.
And that's how dark this all is that I feel I need an alcohol to get.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Well, look.
All right.
Any other ones? Any other big takeaways? I don't want to leave anything.
I love you both very much.
I love you both very much. I'm really, really
I love you
really
guys.
Grateful
for you. Like grateful for everyone listening. So much love. And, you know, you can always reach out to us. You can always DM us or email us.
Always.
Literally always. And we love you. And
go on a date.
suit.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community and of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.